Koltsov, or we go to Rishus and Sumah? So we've kind of made it through the first two levels.
Right.
And it went pretty smoothly. Clearly, we had an understanding that basic understanding has to be a Koltsov. But then, if you understand that to the end, Alachoyra, you cannot have the results of Rishus and Sumah. And the way that you do have that is because of Rishus Nasuna. It's a dual process that enables existence. The Rabban Shem is the Rabban Shem is the Rabban Shem. He doesn't change. But Rishus Nasuna enabled the capability of existence, even though are called suffering. Called suffering, Rishus Nasuna. So far we spoke about the essence of existence. And then we got a level up to Hanhoga. What level Hanhoga, the world, is not Hefker. The world was not made, not Hefker is the wrong word. It wasn't made just as a direct facet of the Bein Shalom's Rotzon. Because if it would have been, it could have been, but if it would have been, then we would have no understanding of any of it. The answer to any question of Lama would be Kacha. Because Kacha Rotza. Kacha Olava Rotza. Kacha Olava Rotza on that very moment. And you would never know anything what's going to happen next. The fact that the sun came out yesterday have no relevance at all to the fact that the sun's going to come up today. And the fact that the sun came up yesterday in the east, maybe tomorrow will come up in the north. Because if it's an individual new rotzon, it'll be fine. So there's always room for constant change. And that would be a world that would be very, very difficult to deal with. Very, very difficult to create a system within man can exist in. So Rishus Nasuna, the Bein Shalom created a ordered world, a systemized world, a world where there can be an assumption, proper assumption, made on past experience, can tell you that the probability of the continuum of those whole thing will be very great. When you come up to very extensive probabilities, because very extensive assumptions, for example, that the sun is going to come up in the morning, that if you jump up, you will fall down. That if you don't eat, you'll be hungry. And so forth. Those things that the Rebbe Shem established as the chukim of the world are such assumptions, are so set up that you can rely on them 100%. To the point that a person doesn't rely on them 100%, there's a problem. There's a problem of misunderstanding. It's a chuk. Chuk, also a layoff. The chukim, chukim hateva, chukim hateva gashmi, chukim hateva ruchmi. The Vaishnav created an ordered world. System of cause and effect enables the person, the level that is a chacham, to be a tzoife, to see from simonim of the beginning of the process, you can see all the way down to the end of the process. The bigger the chacham, the bigger the tzoife, the Vaishnav is the biggest tzoife. So he can see from the beginning of the process all the way down to the end of the process. He's able to see from the great-grandfather what the great-grandchild is going to be. Because every element of a person's existence will find its expression somewhere down in the generations. Or could find its expression somewhere down in the generations. So Koliach, who had some very negative, he left the world in a very, very negative way. He kind of blew it. Like in a big way. But the rest of his life didn't cease to exist. He individually really didn't work out so great. But until then, he had done very, very important things. He was from the Neisei Ha'olah, he was Roy Lekach. And he was a Baal Ruach HaKadosh. And he was Roy, that should be Yotzim. And all of those Milas ended up coming out. There was Shmuel Anovi and all of those things that were part of his original mistake. But so far, relatively, we were on safe grounds. On safe grounds. Because as long as you can hear the beginning, the end, the middle, you know, the back and forth seesaw, the way that we've explained it until now, the basic concept is clear. Basic understanding is clear. The reason for that is because there is no definite, indeterminate nekuda. No place where we have to ask the question and give one straight answer. Is it predetermined or is it not? When we go up to the third level, it's called Sofri. Is the question, does it apply a cold Sofri also to that is determined by Bechira? Assuming that Bechira, if we understand Bechira means full free choice. So, a cold Sofri, the kasha that comes out of a cold Sofri is l'chayre, if you know, if the Rabbi Yishalom knows, before we do something, we have an insight. And the Rabbi Yishalom knows before we did it, what's going to be. Person has an design. He's either going to do the aver, he's not going to do the aver. If the Rishon has any idea, he's going to do the aver. Now he comes, and the science in front of him, and there's the idea that the Rishon has that already exists, that says he's going to do the aver. Does he have a possibility not to do the aver? The Rishon knows already that he's going to do the aver. It's predetermined. And in fact, he's going to do the aver. Because if he's not going to do the aver, so what he's saying that the Rebbe Yishalom made a mistake? His idea that he is going to do the very wrong? So we have to make up our minds. We got a problem here. So the way the question is asked is the famous Yitir and Bechira problem that L'chaira, one of the two, is going to have to suffer. Either you're going to have to lower the level of the Yitir such that leaves you for a full Bechira. Or two, you're going to have to lower the understanding of fear such that it can exist somehow, even though you have a full understanding of Yiddish.
Better not fall asleep now.
This little discussion is one that the hardest part of it is to understand clearly what the problem is. Because there are many, many levels of how a person can understand the problem. And at each level, you can very easily come to realize that it's a whole lot of problem. To realize where the problem is. Let's start from the motion that we used last week. If I am a chokha, and I know based on your nature, past experience, the ways of the world, all kinds of simonim that I have about you and what makes you up. And I know, based on that, very, very reliably, that in this given situation, you're going to choose as follows. Does that mean that you didn't choose it when you chose it? Or does that mean that I know that this is going to be your choice? You still chose it? What's the problem? I know what you're going to do. Is that patis you somehow? Were you forced to do it? What's the problem? It's ridiculous. The whole thing is a mistake. No problem whatsoever. Even theoretically, we would say that the Yiddi is absolute, and that therefore, in truth, the person will actually act out that predetermined idea that Rabbi Yishlom has. But he won't do it as a robot. He will freely choose to do what the Rabbi Yishlom already know that he's going to do. Because the Rabbi Yishlom already know that he's going to freely choose that.
What was the idea based on?
So what's the problem?
What was the idea based on?
That's the only question that remains. So if it's true that the Bechira is pure, how can you know something that's not yet determined? If whether I'm going to yes do it or not do it is dependent on if I'm a nice guy or not a nice guy. So it's not, that's not clear. Whatever I am, if you know that I'm not a nice guy, then I'm going to blow it. And if I am a nice guy, I'm going to do it the right way. Right? So you're very smart and you figured out, well, I'm not a nice guy based on 1, 2, 3, 4 riders. And therefore, probability is that you're going to do what not nice guys do. But if we understand, not like that, that it's given all of the makeup of the person and of the situation, we end up with a true suffix, undetermined. There's nothing in past experience, there's nothing in the makeup of the person, there's nothing in his genes, there's nothing in his psychology, there's nothing in his stars, there's nothing in any kind of hooey-hooey that you like to use to predetermine the future that will predetermine it. It's simply undetermined because it is dependent on a process called free choice. That didn't happen yet. So how can you know it? So before we ask how can you know it, we have to ask another question. Is it possible to say that the Rebbe Shalom does not know that that can't be known in our terms? By us, our understanding of Yediyah, our knowledge, can we know that that is not determined? In our understanding of understanding, in our understanding of knowledge, it is impossible to know that that doesn't exist. It's like you can say, you say that you know a person. I know you, I know you, I know you. Can I know somebody who wasn't born? It doesn't exist yet. I can't know it. Yeah. Maybe, if I'm a very big chacham, and I see a baby on the first day, I can start telling you all kinds of things about his personality. I can say that I have a certain amount of knowledge about the person. But that's only from day one and further. From minus day one, before conception. What can you know? It doesn't exist. What is that for? What?
Understanding of entity that didn't exist for.
Yeah, really.
It's invisible that exists.
Not really, but all
right.
Sorry. Not confused things. Just take one step. You know, actually, I'm saying good. But let's take one step. I'll get back to you. Don't look again. The Chayra, the way we understand, the way we understand our understanding, then I cannot know. I can know what you will probably do based on your personality. I can know what you will probably do based on your track record. I can know what you probably will do based on your upbringing. But when all of that adds up, in that situation, the real full-fledged 50-50 clear situation, where when you finish with adding up all of the givens, you end up with a pure, real, 100% 50-50 self that will be determined only by free choice and by nothing else. Nothing in the future, past, or present will make that decision except for your free choice. In our knowledge of understanding, in our understanding of understanding, just I don't have a different word to use, then I cannot know that. Because I can't not know that I cannot know something that is not yet existent. It's not determined. How can I know it? There's no possibility of knowing something. I can know something that has a process, and from the beginning of the process, I can know the end of the process. I can know that if Reuben is going to marry Tzora, and I have a very, very in-depth understanding of Reuben, and very, very understanding of Tzora, so I can understand that Reuben and Tzora is probably going to come out a child that's going to range from here to here, but not from there to there. With given all the exceptions, there. But that's all because there's a process involved, isn't it? But when we're given a pure prayer, where all of the process is added up to a stalemate, 100% pure 50-50, nothing predetermining or weighing the scales. And the scales are tipped solely and only by my decision, free choice. So can we know that? Can a scientist know that? Can a brilliant Chochmos Pumas Olam know that? But obviously not. Not only would we say that he can't know it, but we would say that if he claims to know it, he's claiming a chasar. He's claiming to have a fault. There's something wrong with his knowledge system. Because his knowledge system is off balance. It's applying itself beyond its bounds. Anything that applies itself beyond its bounds, it's not bigger, it's smaller. If it's trying to apply itself where it doesn't apply, that's not a mile, that's a facade. So by our understanding of knowledge, if somebody would claim that he has a fancy trick how to overcome this problem, and even though you can't know that's not predetermined, he still knows it anyway, right? In our understanding, we understand that he's claiming a facade. He's got a problem. But that's only if we're dealing with understanding in our form of understanding. But let's jump now here. Okay, it didn't take too long, come back to it. There's another process. We have another process. We have another process called Nevuah, for example. Nevuah. This is a trick. But, I'll explain to you why I'm trying to. But it's a trick anyway. Everybody's understanding of Nevuah is, simple understanding, is that Nachon, since the only way that I can know what you're going to do now, what are you going to do next, is because it's based on some reality that exists already. I'm going from the past and present to the future. I'm building on the known to the unknown. I'm building on my present knowledge to extend it to that it was not yet known. So since there is no connection between this and that, there's a bridge, there's a broken gap there, there's a missing link of the decision. So you can't go from here to there because there's a missing link here. There's no way of jumping the bridge. So you know all that you know and can't get across that link. But that's only if the way I know what's going to be tomorrow is because of what happens in the past and in the present. But if I have a direct knowledge of the future, because I have this miracle time machine that lets me jump into tomorrow and look backwards. I could jump into the time machine and get to tomorrow, take a picture and bring it back to today. I have a time machine. I get in the time machine. Here we are. This is time zero is timeline. Point zero is when you're going to make that brilliant and unaffected, unpredetermined choice. That there's nothing in the past or present that forces it one way or the other. But all the brilliant minds in the world won't be able to figure out what you're going to choose. But every kid can wake up tomorrow morning after you choose, turn around, look what happened, says, oh, I know what he chose. Big deal. If I can get to the other side of time, if I can get after the choice, take a picture, put it in the mailbox, the time machine, and bring it back to before he makes the decision, okay, no problem. Because it's not from the link of things that I know it. I know it from just the way somebody knows it after the fact. It's just I have this fancy time machine that allows me to play games with time and get from after the fact to before the fact. So this is a simple answer that gets rid of all of those problems. But no problem, it's a problem. We have a thing called Nevuah. It's a time machine. And this time machine skips all of these. It overlooks all of these simple limitations. Right. Again, time machine, you go around. Skip that step, turn around, take a picture. And a little kid could do that. Right. And bring it back. So the Navi is given a picture of tomorrow, today, big deal. So he knows. But he's brilliant because he's just informed. Where is he informed from? From tomorrow. So what's the problem?
That's what I'm
saying. One second. Now let's assume that that's true. Does that affect your choice at all? The fact that I was led onto the sink pit by the person who's there tomorrow, right, sent me a telegram back to today. What you're going to choose, will that affect your choice in any way? No problem with it. Even though there's somebody around who knows the secret. What does that have to do with me? Because, why? What's it different than before? Before, if we understand directly, he has a predetermined understanding of what's going, knowledge of what's going to be. Well, then you got to do that, because otherwise you're causing that to be wrong. So now, since this is a predetermined, this exists. The knowledge of what you're going to do next already exists. And that's a solid reality. So you can't do something else because that would be causing this reality not to exist. But it does exist, so you got to do it. Right? That's only if this reality comes before this reality. But this reality is a cheater. His really comes later. And he only exists as a byproduct of the decision. He just cheated and came around before. Right? So it's just something he's lit on the secret, what you're going to do tomorrow. But what you're going to do tomorrow is what determines what the picture's going to see in the guy in the time machine of tomorrow, and he just brought that back later. So this can't determine that, because this determines this. Right. The knowledge, the predetermined knowledge. Right. Is only problem the predetermined is by some other source than the decision itself. But it is a predetermined of what decision is, based on after the fact. So whatever you choose now, right, is what caused. It's not the effect, it's the cause. So there's no problem. So somebody's learning to the secret. So the Baruch Hashem wanted to play those games. The Baruch Hashem had his time machine. The Baruch Hashem doesn't have any problem with time. So we're finished. No problem. We can close up this issue. The Baruch Hashem has no problem with time. He's got a time machine. And he can learn into the secrets to his Nevi'im. Tell them what's going to be. It's not telling them what I predetermined. It's telling me what you're going to just choose because I came around in the future and I saw what you choose, and now I'm just letting you in on a secret before.
Problem with that? Well, that's a good trick, as Rob said.
What is anything wrong with it? Is it right?
It's a trick.
But simply that's how it works. Finish.
Does it work like that?
Huh?
Is that why it's how it works?
I don't think that's the way it works.
Why not?
Didn't predetermine what was going to happen. He read a picture of something that was already determined.
Right.
So he didn't predetermine anything.
What?
But he saw something that happened later on and fed it back.
Right.
So he didn't really know before it happened.
Who decided, who determines where the guy's going to do the very not? The knowledge that he is in the end going to do it? Or the decision, free will decision, to do the very at the time they did it?
Depends. It's the same problems you had before, because he only picked up something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew was going to happen at the end, and he got a readout. So it's really no different. It only looks different to us from the fact that we did this little trick. But really, the same thing still happened. This guy's problem didn't go away any different. We just found got a nice little technique.
No, it's no problem.
A problem.
He had no problem in the first place.
Cool. What do you mean? This guy, if Kodesh Baruch Hu fed back to this prophet what was going to happen, it's got the same problem.
He's going to have no problem.
Of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yudia, will be wrong if this guy will do something different. This guy still is forced to do the same what the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows he's going to do.
So the answer So the answer is, no, he's not forced to do what was predetermined. He has free will to choose either way. And what he will in fact choose.
Is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to do?
No, that's what he wants to do.
What?
The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a secret information bureau from the future of what actually his free choice will be. So the knowledge is based on the free choice. It can't be a steer to it. If it's two separate questions, if I know it because I know it.
Yeah.
Because I predetermined it. So then you are predetermined by, I know it. I know that grass is green, right? Regardless whether you want it or you don't. So now if we can only give you an illusion to choose whether it's green or blue. But it's already been determined, undetermined by you, unconnected to you, that grass is green. So now I can make a game, a clear that I can give you either a choice of green or blue. And if you say green, you're going to be right. And if you say blue, you're going to be wrong. Right? And therefore, you don't really have a choice. Because grass has already really been determined, totally unrelated to you, grass is green. Finished. Right? So you're going to have to say that grass is green because it is. Not because of you. Not because of you. Exactly, that's the point.
If
the Rebbeinu Shlomo has knowledge that is not a prior product of your choice, but independent knowledge, he knows that this person, Reuven, is going to do this event before he does it. So if that knowledge does not have its source in Reuven's decision, then Reuven doesn't have a decision. That's true. That is true. You can't get around that.
It is. It's the knowledge is in Reuven's decision. The Maaseh hasn't been made yet, but that's not steered by Hashem because it's not in time.
So that's what we explained.
So if it's knowledge that's not based on the decision, so then it is a problem. So the answer is time machine. And then his knowledge is based on decision. It's not outside of the decision. So the knowledge is a byproduct of the decision. So it can't be as the steer to the decision. It's a byproduct. It comes afterwards, can't come before. It's quite simple, no problem.
Yeah, but our understanding that something is not bound by time. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not bound by time.
You see? So there's no problem.
Yeah, if you could understand that, there's no problem. You substitute one problem for another one with a different name. That's the trick. That's what I was saying before. It's another way, if you could get yourself to understand that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can't be bound by anything, whatever that can mean, is not bound by anything, so there's no problem. But since we don't, can't understand, we can only say that, so we remain with a shtickle problem. If we could understand that, there'd be no problem. But we can only say it. So yes, I can say it. He's not bound by anything. See, yep, I said it. Witnesses. But I don't know what I'm talking about. But I could hear. I mean, the time machine works. It works, it's very nice, and I can say it over. Maybe even at the dinner table on Shabbos. But the mice have no idea what I'm talking about. It doesn't help me, really. But I'm not looking for that much help. I mean, I'm satisfied.
I don't see the same problem as your friend, but I see that the possible problem that could be is that with Nevi'ah, that's a trick of what the Rav said, coming back with what was going to be beforehand. But the Navi doesn't influence the action at all. He only reports it. He reports it earlier than it really takes place, but he doesn't influence it. Do we say at all that the Kodesh Baruch Hu in any way has the ability or does not have the ability to intervene or influence a person's action?
And there goes the Bechira.
Right, so the assumption is that he can't.
Can't.
To the degree he wants to do it. He cannot take away your prayer and still give you prayer. Can't be an elephant. He can't be an elephant. No, if he wants to take away your prayer, he took away power of prayer, there's no problem. But we're talking about that he wants that there should be prayer.
Right. He took away powers of Bechira.
But if but on a normal case where he's not taking away Bechira, and there's already a decision, Rotson reminds him that he doesn't want to take away Bechira because it's the only reason why he created the world. Can he take away the Bechira and keep it? No. For the same reason why he can't turn into an elephant, and he can't be stupid, and he can't be bad. He can't do those. There's a lot of things he can't do. Something negative or idiotic he can't do. And therefore, l'chayra, taking away a prayer and leaving it, he can't do. He can't do that. He can't do that. So this, in fact, is one of the ways for Nevuah, before there's the Nevuah trick. One of the easy ways avoiding this problem is saying the whole problem is because you can't put limitations on the Bereshit in any way. There's one limitation that you can put on the Bereshit. Not only can you, but you must. He's limited from having any concerns. He's limited from having any concerns. A predetermined knowledge of something that's not determined is not a ma'ala, it's a chesaron. Like we said before. Hold on a second, without another trick. The reason why I called it a trick before, right, it's not what I wasn't even. Because it's just avoiding the issue. That's if the Baal Shem has knowledge, he can tell it to the Navi. The Navi can know it before you decide. And the Navi's knowledge won't affect your decision. But the question is, can the Baal Shem know?
That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
You passed the buck. I mean, what did I didn't get anywhere?
Right. No. So once we say that, so you can say, can the Baal Shem know that that's not determined?
Sit back to the same place.
So L'chayra, our normal, simple understanding of Nevuah is based on time machine concept, that the Baal Shem is not limited, is above time, therefore he's not limited from it. And just like now exists, for us, so for the Rebbein Shalom, the past and the future exist in the same way as now does, all at the same time, the same way, in the same form. There's no problems. So there's no problem for him if he show desires to pick up a piece of the future and bring it into the present, or bring a piece of the past and bring it into the future. We can do these little games, these fancy science fiction games of time machines. But that's how we understand. That's our simple understanding, and not totally incorrect. Not totally incorrect. Basically correct understanding of how the version doesn't have these limitations. And therefore, yes, he cannot know that that's predetermined before it happens, but he knows what's... If he cannot know that that's not yet determined. He can't cannot predetermine that that's not yet determined. But he can't know it after the fact. Just like any kid can know it after the fact. Well, I think the person doesn't have a problem between after the fact and before the fact. And therefore, he knows it before the fact from the vantage point of after the fact. The fact that he knows it from after the fact makes it that it is his knowledge that it's a product of the decision and not something that stands on its own, and therefore it doesn't affect the decision. Decision still stands on its own. It's the source of the future knowledge that was just brought into the past. A little time machine trick, if it exists. If we understand properly the estimate of the world, there's no problem. And that is maybe somewhat simplistic, but it is a true understanding how the world works. And therefore, it's no problem. Simplistic. Not exactly explained in very tremendous great depth, but correct. The Bereshit is indeed not limited by time. We indeed cannot conceive of how does it work, something that's not limited by time. So in our minds, we can only use a marshal of a time machine, which we know is a myth. Can you read? It's a marshal of some kind of existence. The Bereshit exists. That's above time and place. It doesn't have these problems. And therefore, you can know from the future to the past, from the past to the future. He's not limited by that, and therefore, there's no steer between his knowledge. What?
Hopeless.
Is that so? Okay. Is it so? Again, boils down to the same thing we explained already a few times, and therefore have to be clarified again in this case. Vadai, if you want to talk about the revolution of Mitzvah Atzmai, not only is he not limited by time, but his existence as such doesn't allow any room for anything else to exist. On that level of existence, if you want to talk about the revolution of Mitzvah Atzmai, well, he doesn't have any of those problems. But we have major problems. We can't exist in those terms. And as a matter of fact, we don't exist in those terms. The Vayishim created Yesh Ma'ayim new terms. When the basic elements of the new terms is fine. That's how he relates to us. What?
Just for the operation.
Same thing that we had in the simple level that we learned from Rashi. A cold sofer. If a cold sofer, you're standing in the same English, how can you put your feet? That's just as soon as the Vayishim created levels of existence. And now, put up your feet. You'd be wrong not to put up your feet. You'd be wrong not to differentiate between Kadri Kadorim and Kayesh and Kadoshim. Because Kayesh didn't leave the world in the state of a cult sofer. A cult sofer was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not a cult sofer. Alpha Pish, Rosh Hashanah is still a cult sofer. Just the way that we have to hear it both ways. That. If things were left as they were before the world wouldn't exist. They were not left the way they were before the world, therefore the world exists. Now, that the way they were, what the world would have been if there would be no world, is that of no relationship anymore? Is that irrelevant? No, it's still relevant. It's relevant that even though you can put up your feet, that's still a cult suffering. The same thing. Had in the second level. True, everything is retained Shemayim. This is a discussion they're showing them. Why does the sun come up in the morning? Is it that the Rebbein Shem has a rotzen on every day that the sun should come up in the morning and therefore it does? Or that the Rebbein Shem had one general major rotzen creation of creating a system which now functions and therefore it's all just playing out the original Rotzen, which was all packaged in the original creations. That's what we explained last week, that it's all figured out. A cult sofui, l'chayra, everything should be direct Rotzen. If would be a cult sofui in a way, if everything would function as a direct and solely resultant of the immediate Rosen Shemayim, then we wouldn't be able to function. So a cult sofui, true, but Abishus Nasun, the Goyishon created a structured world and enabled us to work with the systems that he created. And gave us an instruction manual how to work with this world that he created. And therefore, you can't, on the normal day, bring up the sun on the other side of the world. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? You can do whatever you want. It's not limited by anything. But he is limited by his own retinas. Right? He's limited by the limitations that he created for positive reasons. And to go against them would be negative. He's still limited not to be bad, not to be stupid, and not to destroy that they created for positive reason. Unless there's some positive reason to destroy it. Like in the Bible. But But as long as there is no positive reason to destroy it, then whoever creates something has to sustain. That's the reason why we get food. What we say in the first Baruch HaMei Berachos HaMolech, we've spoken about that in the past. He created it. If he created it, it's because he wanted it. If he wants it, he's got to sustain it. Because if he's not sustaining it, then why did he create it? This is the connecting point between the ongoing creation and the original creation. Vada, there is a constant creation. Chadish B'Kolim to amaze creation. We explained that in the last mission. I think we should go over to speak about that. Vada, Vada is an ongoing creation. Vada is an ongoing rotzen, and every day there's a rotzen for the sun to go up. But that ongoing rotzen, the rotzen of that rotzen is that it should function through the system of the original rotzen of the Bria and not go against it. With the rare exceptions when the Bnei Shalom wants to go against the system of the Bria and make water stand up straight and call it a Pius Yamsu or something like that. But normally water doesn't stand up straight when the water runs. When the Bnei Shalom has reason to have the new roads and overcome the old roads, and so you can do that too. But there has to be a very good reason, extremely good reason to do that. It's extremely difficult to do such a thing, because there's an extremely important rotzen of the original rotzen of the world that doesn't allow it.
Well, let's come back to say it was in the original rotzen.
Yeah, why can't you say that was the original rotzen, and that's all? From our view, it looks a little out of sync with what our limited view seems to be normal.
The original rotzen is that the sun should always come up in the east, never in the west. So now, for there to be a rotzen that the sun should come up in the west, there's got to be a super duper reason for that.
Yeah, but that reason.
Because otherwise, it would be a chassar.
No, but that reason could have been his original rotzen, just not revealed to us until it finally happens.
That's a special idea. So the simple understanding of Nes is that now that there's this very big tzorach, that's why you find in Chazal always, the Rosh doesn't do Nisim Stam. I can. Yeah, he can do all kinds of things, but he doesn't do stupid things. Right? He doesn't do bad things. Right? Well, it affects the whole system of the world. He felt nature, and the Rosh doesn't want to affect nature. The Rosh wanted nature, that's why he created it. It's a very good system, it does the job. It enables human beings to exist. Don't ask questions from the exceptions.
But the one specifically says that in the... That the Kodesh Baruch Hu was able to make oil light, make vinegar light.
Correct.
But in effect, what the Rav is saying is
why could he do that and we can't?
Why would he do that?
My
question is that, in truth, it's very nice for the Rav to tell his daughter that to make her feel better.
That's exactly the problem. The problem is that generally that's not true. Generally, the Bnei Shalom said that Shem should light and Chum should not light. So how are you telling me that? What kind of game is that? It's a lot of fun. On what level is it true that there's no difference between Chum and Shem? On all the normal levels that we know about, it's simply not true. Shem does light and Chum doesn't light. But he had a certain level, but there's absolutely no difference between Chum and Shem. And therefore, they, because the Hanhoga is always according to the Yasod.
So it wasn't a nace.
No. He's not allowed to do this. He's not allowed to do this.
Right, so it wasn't a nace.
That's exactly what he explained. He said that it's not a nace.
It's not a nace. It was
for him, right? There is no difference in his Yasoga. From his Hashem, and therefore it'll light. Because he raised this level above the level of human existence to the point that he wasn't limited by the rules of nature.
But she couldn't go out that week and even start something burning.
Comments, no. It's good work. It wasn't an ace. What's that level? That level is called Enoi Mavale. Enoi Mavale. That's a level where if you want to even talk about it, you have to make sure you don't have even a little bit of gaiva. Because if you do, you're finished. You're total level. A bit of it is all right. And you've put in a place where only the Baruch Hashem exists too, him and you. And that level, Harei Zalonachon, only one exists. So the stronger one, the real one, will exist, and that the other one will not exist. It's a very unhealthy thing to do.
Make sure everybody's listening.
So just let's get this confusion straight. Vadai. What we have to understand, just to wrap it all up, finish as simply as we can. The Benjamin isn't limited by any limitations. And should he want to get rid of all the systems of the world, or any level, or any particular system of the world, or overcome it, or go around it, or go under it, or go around it, in any form, he has no problem. If he should decide to do it, there's no problem. And it won't affect Pierre in the least. He'll use a time machine, or some other tricks. He doesn't have a problem with that. But generally speaking, he doesn't do that. Because that's bad to do. It goes against the basic very nature of that he created for very good reason, and it's bad to do things against good reason. It doesn't usually do that. It's got to be super duper reason to do such things. And this, in fact, is the easiest way to understand how you get around all this confusion. There are psukim that explicitly express both ideas. Both that the Benjamin doesn't know what you're going to decide, and that he does. So if you want to know the truth of the matter is, does the Benjamin know what's going to be clear? The answer is yes and no. Like everything else, there's no problem with that. That's the way it's got to be. For example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Sanhedrin, the Chelik says, Menayin shekosh bochu yodea, ma she osed li is. What's the next question? They got Yinavim, and that's what all Nevuah is all about. They know what's going to happen in the future. The answer is he's talking about what's going to happen based on Bria. So he brings a pasuk. Shenema, v'koma oma zeh v'zina. The Baruch Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu before he was left there, what's going to happen in the Bria of Klai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So here he is, 400 years before the fact. Ayidei Nevuah, stated in the Torah, before the Baruch Hashem explained explicitly that this is what's going to happen in the future based on Bria. So here it is, Mefurish. The Baruch Hashem can in fact know in the future. Then there are umpteen pasukim that say the opposite. For example, Ato yudati kiyor elohim ato. After the Nisoyin, the whole idea of Nisoyin is that now I know, which means, translates, that now I know and before I did know. Vayer Hashem luroi says ha'ir. Im kitzakosa. What do you mean, im kitzakosa? He didn't know im kitzakosa and lo kitzakosa. Then he brings many psukim the idea of nesoyin. The man asoyis called the das is a share of the man asoyis. All the even nesoyin is the das a share of the vechol. All the psukim, there are many psukim like that. I mean, did he know he had a problem? Well, does he know? He doesn't know. The answer is that the Rebbeinu Shlom on all levels always must function in the dual form. wherever you're going to go. Vadai, the Rebbeinu Shem, in all of his shleimus in existence, that existed for the Bria, didn't change a key who's there after the Bria. And to whatever degree that level of existence is expressed, there are no limitations whatsoever. There are no limitations whatsoever to the degree that therefore nothing else can exist. Because anything else that exists would be a limitation. You can't have any limitations. And the whole system doesn't work many, many times over. First of all, because it can't exist in the first place. Second of all, the Q can't exist. Third of all, person can't exist. Well, you can go on and on how many different reasons there are. There's unlimited reasons why you cannot have tachlis, what the B'nai Shem wanted out of the world. If the world would function, you can't even say those words, if the B'nai Shem would express himself as he existed before the world. And therefore, there is a basic rotzon called the Rishus Nesuna that enables the world to exist. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself plays by the rules when he wants to. So as long as the normal rules work, as the Sefer Derech Hashem explains, in order for Inyan Shemayim, for example, to be brought out, there's a Bez Din in Shemayim. And you got to bring Adim, and there are Tainas a Hin and Tainas a Hair. What's all that about? Wasn't it? That's all usually a Bira Hamas. B'nai Shem's missing any knowledge. The answer is that the B'nai Shem created a world with system. A system of Din, Mishpat, Ba'oretz, B'Shemayim. How it works. And he subjugated himself by will to the system in order to enable the system to exist. Because that system is the system that will bring out the desired results. And therefore, normal speaking, most of the time, the Rebbeinu Shem functions within his relationship to the world according to the rules. The Rebbeinu Shem also plays by the rules. As in Mashal Katov, that's what it says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem Kol Mitzvos HaTorah. He plays by the rules. He has to be kind to you. All the witnesses. Because the Gemara is a sefer. It says the Bunchim does all the witnesses. Then it gives some examples of ones that are, for many reasons, the Gemara decided are the right ones to give examples to. Vadai, that the Bunchim's tefillin are different than our tefillin. Explains. There the Gemara gives the exact understanding of how the Rebbeinu Shem does the same mitzvah the way he do, right? But in the way that it makes sense that the Rebbeinu Shem is doing it. Right? Tefillin had an easier way of explaining the difference using two different parshas. The parshas are the pimius of tefillin, and therefore the mitzvah in terms of us is our relationship to the Rebbeinu Shem, the mitzvah in terms of the Rebbeinu Shem were his relationship to us. But in Shvius, Bonus, so we don't really know exactly what how to do that. How do you know where it starts? And tzitzis? Well, tzitzis we know. We say it in the morning also. Okay. It's a reminder. What about Shem's tzitzis? The rays of the sun. What about Shem's tzitzis? He plays by the rules. He plays by the rules because of the rules that he made, that he also should play by them in order that the world should function the way he wanted it to. But although he subjugated himself to the rules, not 100%. Only to the degree that's necessary. But he should so will. But he should so wish. But at any moment, he can go back to Kacha anytime he wants to. The whole Yisoid of Mishpas Mechai, there has to be Kedai. And usually the Bereshit plays by those rules. Nachon. But there are times, for reasons that only he knows, and sometimes he tells us, he doesn't play by the rules. So therefore it's all very simple. Always you can get through all of these confusions in very simple things. As long as the Bereshit plays by the rules, he doesn't have to. But he usually wants to, because it is coherent with the general rotzen of enabling the world to exist according to the way it's supposed to. Then everything works normally, the way we understand. And therefore, the Bereshit doesn't know predetermined things, because that's a chesaron to know predetermined things. It doesn't predeterminately know undetermined things, because that's a chesaron to know. To claim to know the predetermined things that are undetermined is a steer. Therefore, a chesaron. It's going beyond. But that's only to the degree that the Bereshit wants to play by the rules. But if he doesn't want to play by the rules, he's unlimited in his methodology of getting around there.
But that itself he could do?
What?
Could he do that also? Yeah. The way this is a chesaron? To know the outcome.
Can he do a chesaron? No, he can't do a chesaron. He can't do a chesaron. He can get to the same result in a way that won't be a chesaron. But a chesaron he can't do. I can say maybe that's not true. He can decide to do a chesaron also. If he has a very good reason to do that,
See,
what's the idea? The basic idea we got to know is exactly what you just said. Now, Bereshit didn't take any chances. He can't lose. Let's just try to. What does it mean? Then what does it all add up to? It all adds up to the thing that I've told you. I don't know how many times. True, we have free choice. But the Bereshit didn't take any chances. The end tachlis, the eventual one of the world, will come out regardless of free choice, even though the free choice exists 100%. Because the Bereshit plays the ball game on both sides. And he always wins. And therefore, the practical difference of our choice is only whether you want chayev or mavis, you want tevera. Tachlis oilim gildim afu shemayim kol ma tachlis with the Bereshit is going to come out whether you like it or not, because he's playing on both sides. He plays the game on all sides. Right? What he wants will come out regardless of prayer. Hagam, that doesn't mean prayer at all. Therefore, the only afkimina of the prayer. He spelled it out in his psukim. He says, it's a chayim, 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 that's all. Very simple. But whether in the end is going to be Malchus Shemayim or it's not going to be Malchus Shemayim, he never gave that over to you. You want to go through the gas chambers? Go through the gas chambers. You want to go through straight to go? Right? So don't make an eagle. You made an eagle, gas chamber. You can choose this way, you can choose that way. You can go the Chaim way, you can go the Modus way. Right? You can go the Toyif way, you can go the Ra way. But in the end, the Rosh Hashanah is going to win. The Rosh Hashanah always wins. Because he plays the game on two levels. What?
We're going to discuss the end of the mission next week.
Right.
For the
so in the middle.
Yeah.
For the